Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of June 2024. I'm your host, Robert, and I am officially petitioning for Evo to host a competitive tournament for Teen Titans Battle Blitz. Do it, you cowards! And with me, I have
15 minutes of my life wasted on Discord trying to update. Just do it next time! Fuck!
And
okay, right now we need deer antlers, your cape, some background music, Rob, we need Alex's house.
And subtitles that are actually grammatically correct and are not presumably done via machine learning.
There too!
There's always one every season, isn't there?
Same company that did Mickey and Dally handled this show too, so we know who to blame.
So it had to be on the one show that we just loving right now, or I'm just low. I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm loving it. All sound like this, the whole DJ, now we think of doing a whole show, like, fuck it, this is my own version show called Demon Deer Lord.
That just sounds like an Elden Ring boss. DLC pack number 2, maybe?
Who knows? Yeah, I was getting that, like, But you know how a certain comedy, this is my shit.
I don't know. I haven't watched it, but everything I'm seeing of it just looks like Nietzsche Joe with Family Guy energy, and not necessarily in a good way. But who knows? I still have to actually check out some of the stuff from this season. So, but this isn't that podcast. This is the music podcast, where we talk about music stuff. And we got another album roundup here, and okay, I'm looking at the calendar, I'm like, there was some interesting stuff going on here and there. It was kind of a relatively brief month for me, personally, like, definitely nowhere near as much as, like, other months, but, you know, there was still stuff happening here and there. So, let's not waste any more time. We are, of course, going to kick off this business the same way we usually do, by starting with a rundown of just some of the more notable things that came out during this past month of June. Gonna take it week by week, so let's start at June 7th, 2024. Some of your notable releases include the second studio album from death metal supergroup Umbra Vitae called Light of Death. That was the newest Dysrhythmia album, Coffin of Conviction. For the Apocalyptica fans out there, they had a release called Plays Metallica Volume 2. If you're into Bon Jovi, he had a new project called Forever, something Fantano. From the hip-hop duo of Joey Valance and Bray, there's newest album No Hands. From country rapper Yellow Wolf, we had the album War Story, which 25 tracks. Wow, what the fuck? Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that, if you're into Ski Mask the Slump God, for some reason, there's the new project 11th Dimension. From recently christened XXL freshman Huncho, we had a project called Before the Album. From producer K. Tronada, we had his new album Timeless. From No Worries, we had the physical release of their second studio album Why Laud. If you're into Meghan Trainor in the year of our Lord 2024, for some reason, she also had an album called Timeless. Heh, bullshit. And then, of course, the newest album from Charlie XCX with Brat. Then moving on to the week of June 14th, 2024, from the band Ulcerate, their new album, Cutting the Throat of God. From rapper Homeboy Sandman, we had the project Rich 2. From Normani, we had our new album, Dopamine. This is when we got the digital release of No Worries of Why Laud. From Don Tolliver, we have Hearthstone Psycho. From Moneybag Yo, we had the project Speak Now. From Lindsay Sterling, we had our new album, Duality. From The Decemberists, you still give a shit about them for some reason. The new album, As It Ever Was, So It Will Be Again. And from country singer Luke Combs, we had the album Fathers and Sons. Then on June 20th, there was a new project from a regional Mexican act, Peso Pluma, with Exodo. Moving on to the Friday proper, June 21st, 2024. From the French black metal band Alceste, there was the album Les Chants de l'Aurore. From the group Sumac, we had their latest album, The Healer. From Wage War, we had the project Stigma. From The Story So Far, their new album, I Want to Disappear. From rapper Your Old Droog, we had Movie. From frequent John Carpenter collaborator Daniel Davies, we had his new solo album, Ghost of the Heart. And for all you Kalani fans out there, we had her new album, Crash. Then moving on to the last Friday, June 28th, 2024, of which there was quite a bit going on. From the band Nothing More, we had their new album, Carnal. From the group Previous Industries, that is Open Mic, Still Rift, and Video Dave, their new project, Service Merchandise. From Boldy James and Conductor Williams, we had the project Across the Tracks. Lil Yachty and James Blake had a collaborative effort out called Bad Cameo. From Lupe Fiasco, his new album Samurai. From the producer Channel Tres, we had Head Rush. From Cupcake, we had her new album Dauntless Manifesto. From Sauce Walker, we had Sauce Father 2. Apparently, there was a re-release of the Shaquille O'Neal album You Can't Stop the Rain, which notably featured an initially unreleased version of the song No Love Lost, which had a verse from Nas on it. Nas, seriously, dude, what the fuck? From Washed Out, we had the album Notes from a Quiet Life, which I'm only putting in here to point and laugh because of that fucking AI-generated music video. Ha!
Ew.
Yeah, that was a thing. From G-Eazy, we had the project Freak Show.
He's still around!
Unfortunately, it seems.
Never forget the harshest burn ever said on any platform. G-Eazy, the White Macklemore.
Never forget. From Imagine Dragons, we had the album Loom. From Camila Cabello, we had C, XOXO. And who cares about that shit? Because there was a new Megan Thee Stallion album to cap things off with. Megan. Yeah, it feels like a perfect way to end the month and all. So, not to beat around the bush any further. So, we're going to move on to diving into some albums in more depth. And as always, Alex, get the ball rolling for us, sir.
Okay, well, I didn't have a whole lot here for June, which means I had to punish myself with a bad album. I'll get to that momentarily. Megan, I'm sorry, 18 tracks is over my limit. I just couldn't get to all of it, but good on getting Adam MacArthur to drop a line for you. Shame you couldn't get that anime sample cleared. It was probably going to be something from Jujutsu Kaisen. So thanks, every company involved with Jujutsu Kaisen.
I bet it was MAPPA. I don't know. I just, anytime something bad happens, my instinct is to blame MAPPA.
Yeah. Yeah, presumably. But, yeah. Short version from what I did hear of it, it's fine, but as Crash Thompson would say, it's kind of the problem TM, as in more of the same. Not much else to it. Again, 18 tracks, like, that's just too much. Like, you all know my rule. 14 tracks with very few exceptions. So, I mentioned at the end of last month's roundup that I was going to bring out an album none of you were expecting. I guess I gotta make it two albums none of you were expecting. So I listened to this new Lupe Fiasco album, Samurai.
Oh, huh. Okay.
The premise alone got me interested. Amy Winehouse doing battle raps as a samurai.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that's the concept of this admittedly very brisk album. From the perspective of Amy Winehouse as a samurai doing battle raps. Okay. I am not going to explain further. Look it up on your own time. I will say it's a fine listen. It's got a bit of those jazzy elements that I do like every now and then. crap, where was I going with this? Yeah, I guess I was just, I'm just a little fixated on the whole Amy Winehouse angle of it that I sort of lost my track for a moment. But, I mean, it's 8 songs. It's not the deepest of listens. If you know what Lupe Fiasco's about, you're going to get, you know, jazz-infused bars over here, along with some shout-outs every now and then. Good on you for repping, you know, the main man, Ken Shamrock, on here, as well as on the track number one headband. I think we all know what that alludes to.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. If only Afro Samurai got more than just 5 episodes in a movie and a crappy video game.
Yeah, we could use more Afro Samurai these days.
We really could. It was, it was too good for this bitch of an earth. Yeah, very good. Very good rap album. Lupe is one of the guys who managed to avoid the wrath of Kendrick over the last several months, and good on him. But speaking of somebody who didn't avoid the wrath, one of my rules here is that if I cannot reach my 6th album self-imposed quota, I have to torture myself with a bad album to make up for it.
Oh boy.
Rob, you took the bullet last time with Bring Me the Horizon. It is time for me to take a bullet with Camila Cabello.
Okay,
listen. I knew this album was going to be bad. This is my own penance and, you know, punishment for not having enough albums to talk about. It's just one of my rules. I have to go by it. Yeah, this album's bad. Like, you do not need me to go into detail and give a proper critical analysis of why this album is bad. So what I'm going to do instead is something I have not done in quite a while. A track-by-track rundown of why every song on here is just bad.
Ew.
Okay. I'm getting acid reflux just thinking about it. Ugh. So the leadoff single, I love it. That one with Playboi Carti. It's still terrible and annoying. There is nothing reading me about this anywhere. It's just terrible. Chanel number 5. Why is she doing Future's Flow with auto-tune filtering?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when I say that, I mean she is doing this as if her voice has been replaced with, well, Future. It's as bad as you think it sounds. We have the first of 3 interludes on this 32-minute album, Pink XOXO. It's just 50 seconds of nonsense, so, yeah, whatever. He knows. You're better than this, Lil Nas X.
He really is.
You're so much better than this. Yeah, don't,
we are.
Don't lessen yourself to doing terrible pop features. You're not at that point yet. You have at least 15 more years ahead of you before you start doing that. Okay, 20-somethings. It's an acoustic guitar ballad. And it's bad enough we have a bunch of quote-unquote up-and-comers trying to be the next Olivia Rodrigo or Lana Del Rey or Billie Eilish or, God forbid, Taylor Swift. It's not any better when somebody who's been in the industry this long tries to do it and does it badly. Dade County Dreaming. I will give Young Miami and JT credit. Their bars and delivery are solid and punched well above the weight class of this song, which is next to nothing with her just whispery, scratchy, raspy vocal delivery. You can't do Billie Eilish's voice on here. Oh, you just can't do it.
God, this sounds like the worst thing to happen in Dade County since, fuck, I don't know.
I'm sure something bad happened in the Miami area over the last couple of days.
I do not want to think about it.
Where's Marco Rubio been lately?
I don't want to think about it.
Exactly. So, but yeah, this is also very bad. Koshi XOXO is another interlude track with some guy on here named BLP Kosher. I don't know him. I don't care to look him up. And it's just him saying how much Camille's music helped him. Not this album, I'm sure. And then we get to Hot Uptown featuring Drake.
Oh!
I was expecting it to be bad, but it starts with Drake doing Ugandan knuckles.
Oh no!
Are you serious?
That kind of inflection in his voice, where he sounds either Ugandan or Jamaican or Ghanese or some other dialect. It's just
so basically he's doing that fake patwash like he's always been doing in most of his shit.
Yeah. What do you expect from a fucking colonizer?
Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, and his auto-tune Weekend at Home delivery is much better on here. It's just a waste. But hey, at least we can say this was planned months in advance, and Camille has not done anything involving Drake in the wake of this album's release. So, oh wait, she went to a gathering with Drake with some other guy hosting it, and stupid.
Something called a white party.
Yeah, that. But what's worse than one Drake feature? Two Drake features.
Oh.
A track called Ugly with three U's. And she really gave Drake a track all on his own to do his weak-ass Weekend impression again.
Oh, God.
Fuck, this album is such a mess. Dream Girls. There's some track sampled on here. I didn't bother looking it up. What the fuck is she even talking about in some of these lyrics? Like, let me pull up the lyrics here, just to say it right here. It was Keisha, it was Sonia, it was Tanya, it was Monique, it was Niecy, it was Kiki. Now you see her at 26, all you can say is, I think she knows she's the shit. What the fuck is she talking about?
What? I think I had a stroke trying to listen to that.
Did she somehow hear that Charlie XCX song from a few months ago and decide to do her own version of it? And a worse version of it? Because there is no... What, Julia Fox, was she in that video? I don't fucking remember.
Yeah.
Tough luck, guys. She's off the market to all you out there. One of us. Gobble, 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 gobble! This album may be crazy, okay?
Yeah.
I'm still not done!
Jesus, man!
14 tracks! Okay. 305 Till I Die. It's another interlude on this 32-minute long album.
I miss Pitbull.
Damn.
Okay. Thankfully, the last three tracks on here are just nothing. Boats, Moody Piano Ballad, next. Pretty When I Cry, Vapid Back End Album Filler, next. And June Gloom. I feel nothing here. Like, this sums up the whole album for me. It's a vapid, cluttered mess with a massive identity crisis for Camille, who clearly does not know what she wants to be, and whose producers also don't know what she wants to be. I don't know if it's just because that really weird relationship with Shawn Mendes just didn't work out or whatever, but like, this is a mess. In tone, in structure, in songwriting, just everything here is just bad. Like, this is really bad. And something about this album's rollout and release and promotion, it got me thinking about the state of pop music right now. It's bad. It's so fucking bad. Like, there's nothing. There is next to nothing of substance available anywhere. Like, yeah, we have Taylor Swift pumping out new versions of her album every other week, which, that's getting old. Stop it. We got Billie Eilish doing her thing, which is fine, but she's caught in a pissing contest with Taylor Swift over the album charts. And we have, what else do we have? Like, Sabrina Carpenter, J.J. Abrams' daughter, Chappelle Roan. I'm sorry, all you TikTok zoomers. I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. I just don't get it. Like, what else is there? Actual industry plant Jax?
Who?
Yeah. Just, it's not good. Like, the pop scene is just bad. And like, what else do we have? Like, really? This Charlie XCX album? Like, this got all the rave reviews? Like, Fantano gave this album a 10. Like,
Wait, hold up. Are you serious?
Yeah, I am serious. Like, we heard those singles when they came out. I remember saying I didn't really get it. I didn't get what the idea was on here. I mean, they were fine enough on their own, but like a 10, really, Melon. That's bold, but
yeah.
I mean, I'll give anything a shot once. Sure, why not? So, yeah, I listened to this Charlie XCX album, Brats, not knowing what to expect, and, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
This is one of the best pop albums I've heard in a very long time.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't see that coming, did you?
Did not.
We got bamboozled.
Yeah. I've been building this up for a month and none of you caught it!
Swerved.
I'm very sneaky like that. So, in order to explain how I came around to this, I have to give you a little bit of story time. Back when I was 6 years old, I think, I got my first CD player, a Sony Discman. For those of you who don't know what that is, look it up on your own time. Yeah, I got a portable CD player, and I listened to, well, in the year 1999 and 2000, I was into three things. Pokemon, Toonami, and MTV. I was not the target audience for MTV, but I still enjoyed, you know, all the stuff on it on that was, you know, on the channel back then, back when they actually played music. And I was big into pop music when I was a very young lad. In fact, I would say 7-year-old me's favorite album, Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again.
Huh.
Yes, and what I didn't realize back then, I was doing something called active listening. As in, I was actually focusing to a lot of the stuff in the music, listening to everything play out, even reading the booklets that came with the CDs, because that's what you did back then. You got booklets with information and pictures on it and lyrics so you can read along to. And back then, in the year 2000 and 2001, before the internet took everything over, my listening experience was this. I put a CD in the player, I press play, I listen to it from end to end, and I do it again for the next CD that I got, which was mostly boy band stuff because I was into that too. I was 7 years old, don't judge me. Anyway, to get to where I came around with this album, I started the first track, 360, that first single, or second single, or whatever it was, and I just played the whole album from end to end. This is a very well-crafted and pleasant listening experience for a full album. And if you recall, last month I talked about how singles and videos don't really do an album justice when they're taken out of the grander context. I talked about it with Knock Loose. I talked about it with Billie Eilish. They never respect the rule of three. This applies here as well. From end to end, in a weird way, this is kind of a cynical experience, but in a really good way. Like, it knows it's being cynical, and it really plays into a lot of the self-deprecation of what's going on in here. Again, listen to the lyrics. Look at the lyrics on your own time. I'm not going to, you know, throw them out for you. So yeah, this is what I like in basically 2000s pop music. Whole lot of synthetic stuff. Bit of house music. And on the track Club Classics, I describe it as a dank-ass grimy drill beat. Listen to it on your own time, and you'll understand what I mean. It is grimy. It's full of that very piercing, drill tone. It's dank as fuck, but in a good way. The album sort of plays out like it's trying to play up the whole, 360 party girl aspect. But you go deeper into the track list, like on Sympathy as a Knife, I might say something stupid. So I, which is, I believe, a tribute to one of her former collaborators and a woman she basically idolized in Sophie. And of course, I Think About It All the Time, which is basically her wondering, should I have a child? Which I can't relate to for obvious reasons, but I mean, I get it. Where it really comes around, though, the track 365, which is sort of a reprise of 360, but in a much harsher and even more, I don't know if cynical is the right term, but it's very almost aggressive in the way it's presenting itself, with a harder beat, a darker tone. It's a very clever way to wrap everything around here, but yeah, there will be tracks in the playlist. You can listen to it for yourself. This was a very, very, very good experience for me. Like, it's very rare nowadays I find the time to listen to an album from end to end and do it a couple times over. This is one of them. Like, this was a very, very well-constructed album, even if the album cover is extremely minimalist, along with the rest of her discography to sort of play into all that. But, whatever. Never thought I'd say the day that Charlie XCX album will be one of my favorites of the year, but here we are. Crazier things have happened, and they will continue to happen. Just you wait.
We live in a strange universe.
Yes, we do. And alright, I have one more thing in here. I kind of forgot about this. It was kind of an afterthought since it came out on the, I think, the same week. Apocalyptica plays Metallica Volume 2. It's Apocalyptica playing Metallica songs. It's very good. They even got Robert Trujillo on two songs and James Hetfield on one to do like a spoken word thing. It's cool. I enjoyed it. And I don't have a good way to segue out of here, so I'll just say, hey, the song I Don't Care with the guy from 3 Days Grace, Adam Gontier, whatever his name is. Co-writer on that track is Max Martin.
Ah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. I'm done.
I'm learning things today.
Okie dokie.
But, yeah, that was an interesting way to open things up. But now we must skedaddle on over to part two, which, as always, is Mark. Wait, did I seriously just say skedaddle? What the fuck is wrong with me?
Okay. So, yeah, this one has been actually pretty normal. Normal-wise, I have, like, not an album to talk about. I will say there have been some cuts, because I was going to listen to that Yes, album, but I just sort of just forgot. Shame on the Kalani album, which I also forgot. I mean, I heard good things about the Lee Fiasco album, so I have heard of the whole thing about anyone else being the samurai. That kind of confused me a bit, but, but anyway, not albums. And hey, for the first time, I get to talk about Kitchenada. Well, his solo shit. I mean, because usually when we talk about him right here, usually be either him collaborating with IDK or Mine from a few years back. But then I can talk about his, actual album, because last time I didn't talk about Bubble because that was in December, now I get to talk about an album that's releasing, June. It's called Timeless. And yes, there's another album called that this month. No, we don't give a shit about that one. Anyway, So, for what cover this album is, like Bubba, he's still leading, he's leading more the R&B, dancehall, electronic vibes. What's some hip-hop shit going in there? I mean, for what he said on Twitter, it's like, yeah, just want to go by now. I like doing this shit my way, which, okay, I get it. I can thank him for that. I know I still love this baby album 99.9%, but I get by, but I get him, want to change shit around, which, all right. Okay, you do get the pressure. We got this bombastic beat that got samples for Redman's Let's Get Dirty and this one track called Pressure Cooker by Thelma Houston. Okay, all right, it's also good and shit. You don't get one song falling called Spit Out with Rochelle Jordan with these very smooth, sexy vocals coming from her with the snap clap of the beat, which, all right, that works out very well. Clear up with Lou Phelps, who is the younger brother of Kitchenada. And part of a dude called the Celestics. Yeah, that's a thing. Got this very dancey, funky vibe to it. Kind of like new disco, but more flavor. It's like think of, you know, funky chicken.
God, yeah. Now I want chicken.
Yeah. Same except for Weird with Duran Bernard. Joints doesn't make you. And enjoys, like, most of the speakers just want to say, make them go to nightclub dance. Like, even the next track, Dance, 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 Dance. Yeah, I say that four times. That's the second instrumental track of the joint, which had, like, a funky vibe. Like, this should make you want to dance in a nightclub. Like, it sounds great. It sounds amazing. Like, one of my favorite tracks of the album. And there's also Fill Away with Don Toliver, which, okay, I like some of the, like, I never listened to a Don Toliver track, solo or album-wise, which he sounds good on this beat with this very warbly bass going on there, like, okay, I gotta fill this track right here. Yeah, Fill Away, and I'm filling this track. Hmm. Yeah. Some tracks do kind of feel like, I want to say some tracks do, like, have that In one ear, out the other type of feel. At least that's what I got from tracks like Steel, Video, Hold On, and Seemingly, which they're not bad tracks. I'm just saying, like, they're not interesting enough to be my favorites. The feature artists in there, which I forgot to write down my review, which, they did it fine, but tracks are bringing a change in the way they feel like they could be just doing this background noise, which, yeah. However, one track did get my attention, and that is Drip Slip with Town Trace, which that's for not that's one of my favorite tracks of the album. Like that track again, the track, the beat, even the video just make you want to dance in that club, which will make you sweat. Given from the video I saw from there, the video, the song's phenomenal. Like you get like. And also, do look at Shrapnel on here, like, God was like, man, it's gonna be fucked up. Let's get my head up. You hold your hands up. They might not shoot y'all. It doesn't matter, I just feel like this is just worse for me as it just sounds amazing. And then we get some more tracks like, Do It To Me with Anderson .Paak and Sir. Oh, and Witchy with Childish Gambino. Which, for the latter, that song was teased two years ago during a DJ set, and now you get to hear the real thing. And I will say, like, for Witchy is a bang, it is a bang for sure. Like, okay, like, even though I kind of skipped on that Childish Gambino, I will say skipped that more like the reboot, that album, re-edition, whatever he did last month, I did skip that, but okay. And of course, Do Two Man's a Pack of Sir. Yeah, that was pretty good too. And I figure there's only one track with Love and Friend with Rochelle Jordan, which I got on that twice, which that's a fine track. It was great to be so symbolic, and it's going to end the album. Except it isn't. You got a second disc. There's like four more tracks of this.
Oh.
Speaking of that second disc, the one song with What's the Words for Thundercat? This could be one of the dumbest checks. This is one of the dumbest checks of the album. And yet I love it. I don't know if he's doing the shit post, but I don't know. Basically, he's like, the fuck's he saying? Like, he's just saying shit like, you got the strap. Who gives a fuck? Mr. Know-It-All. he's thinking, wow, let's do some vocals. Like, damn.
Never change, Thundercat.
We do got another channel chest contribution with Stunting, which a bit slower than Drip Sweat, but you know what, it does bang. Okay, I do like, and then there's, I think, with Pink Panthers, which, okay, she sounds fine. Like I heard good things about Pink Panthers. Also, I like saying Pink Panthers because I don't know, it just sounds good to me. And after closing with this album, which features Mariah the Scientist, different Mariah by the way, which has some matches because it has some matches because first from her album, then it's the version from, you know, her album to his album, which, yeah, like overall the album does have the best album that gets you out of, you know, dance music, like it gets funky. It's vibe, energetic, groovy, central. It's the beat so right. It can be a bit too familiar and not like his previous albums, but look, I'm not gonna expect 99%. I'm not gonna expect another 99% out of them. But I know, I'm not gonna hear something like that again. But there's always something to like about this album. Something like about him, and yeah, guys, like this album is pretty good. I like the shit. Next up, another album with a black and white cover, which we had two albums I'm talking about. Really loves black and white. The Return of No Worries.
With Y Lord. As in,
yes, it's been...
Y Lord, did it take this long? Seriously, yeah. Remember, that first No Worries album was literally like the first 2 months of this podcast.
Yeah. All right, we got this album, and how do we find this? Okay, before beginning this, let me rip this one band-aid off, this one out of the way. The intro, which has a spoken word from Dave Chappelle. However, it's mostly about the thing of what we deserve, or some shit like that. Either way, it was short. That's all he said. You didn't say no stupid shit. And we move on. We move on to the single A6 Central, which, all right, the thing about the album, at least, not fast, but very smooth. Well, song intro. Thing is, like, is it the first album? Like, kind of not really, because it's more about how his lifestyle came to him, because now he's wild and age mostly. Like, kind of like how in real life, Pac has recently been divorced.
Oh.
Which, yes, you can hear it in this album too. There's some insecurity and bitterness. Relational check with Keep Her with Thundercat, which had a second Thundercat appearance, which was a time which a verse was in him shouting out bitch like that, he's really fucking sore about it, which again comes with his lifestyle, which him being a player is like, you're thinking, wow, he sounds like an asshole. Yeah, he does. And that's what he's going by. Which you kind of get now with the three singles released, which first being Here I Go, the one that features her about the relationship with him and his other, how they're close to being through with each other, talking about the misgivings and you can saw the video at the internet, at least the word daydreaming, which of course daydreaming, of course they're talking about, which you saw through that music video, which is created from, well, by using Grand Theft Auto 5 as that, which I still think is one of the best sound songs for me. I heard from them, especially with the guitar that had that very 80s vibe, and that guitar wails. When that guitar wails, baby, it fucking wails. Like you can hear the soul from that shit. Mm-hmm. And of course, the other single you got from here, which features October London doing the mean falsetto hook, has been Patrick Mills about him and his girl being together. Now it's always like, you know, where do I go to? Where do I go to from here? Yeah, that. And of course, it's doing a good spoken word outro, which, hey, one of his better, more dignified performances I heard in a while. Right? And then, of course, you know, they got this, like, the Bill O'Rourke got this very lo-fi and vintage sound that Notch is known for. Got this, you know, very dusty, smoky, old school feel, what you think, like, you know, like, showcase of that, some tracks like Distractions, Looking and Fall Through. Battlefield remind you that Pac, it seems like no more music, he can still rap as close as he can. Like, there are some post-war lyrics like Here I Am, which is really him trying to move with his heartache, but not people remind him, like he was dumb for messing up a good thing, trying to move on a thing like 21 Year, who's dumb as a brick with shitty music taste. His words, not mine. That he got annoyed with, bring the whole thing up again, which gets him going through the shit, like, him acknowledging that, you kind of fucked up that, which, at least I'm glad, which, like, he acknowledges that, which, okay, but he acknowledges that. Also reminded, like, of course, there's also reminded from the last time that he used to, well, you know, get his shit together. Remember that?
Yeah.
And okay, and Chris got just like out the way with Ray Khalil around the tidbit, well, that tidbit. She used had that soulful touch and the vocals pitch to a higher chipmunk, so it doesn't bother me that much. Like the songs you do get are kind of, they are kind of short, like it's like 19 tracks, but like 50 something minutes, like the tracks are like really kind of short. So like the last album was, which is sort of a, like more of it is more self-talking snippet about him paying his mom's marks and living it up. Then there's one called Never Remix, which hacks the fuck on the damage she did, relationship, and I never did do any harm. Only has Charlie Wilson, Charlie's last name, Wilson, the backup up on that, and I kind of wish I had more of him, because the song sounds nice as all hell. Distance Space with the last Artful Dodger, the last Artful, Dodger, yeah, that's how you say his whole stage name. Which, you know, the whole thing of, you say for a second chance, basically that. It's too late. And then you got the final track of the album. Well, sort of final track, because the final track even more was like 26 seconds. So that's just a closer. Just Walk On By with Earl Sweatshirt and Ray Khalil, which had to deal with the whole process of struggles and complicated with the relationships and packs emotional experiences as you know, they share a tear and do self-medication. Earl reflects on, old Grace's resentments, and one time he gave him advice that he would not say today, and Ray going through some isolation and feeling invisible despite being out of the open. Like, it does have that very moody and super that fits in the track, and kind of coming to conclude the album. Yeah, 8 years in the making, and it shows the maturity in there, and consequently, when the first elements have affected his relationship, the stellar, bringing back this R&B sound from the late 70s and 80s, and Pac Rapper does have his usual charming self, even if he doesn't admit, like, yeah, he's been an ass, you know, he's very aware of that, but yeah, I gotta say, this record is okay, like, alright, it's a pretty good record, like, I could definitely say that it is, like, you know, basically, the Wolf's mature state. You know, despite maybe went through, like, okay. I will say maybe a little rough to listen to, despite, you know, him having that bit of shit going on, but it's like, okay. But yeah, I get it. It's another good record. Well, that's two out the way. So look at that I listen to. And once this Alex already talked most of it, Tracy X with Brat. But actually, I just listened to one called Brat, and it's the same, but it's three more songs, so it's not.
Oh, is this like another one of those, like, like deluxe edition type of things?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it has, mostly three, just three more tracks, which is not, a big deal to it to me, which, I mean, it's not the same as another album, but yeah. Of course, it's like what he said, like, yeah, this being the sixth album from her, and I forgot that. I know she said she did this first album out of her contract of Asylum, which, she's still on Atlantic, by the way,
just,
she forgot about that. It's a Asylum that she's out of, but yeah, I'm gonna get to that. But yeah, like you, I was, a bit, questionable here, because of the singles. And then I realized, oh, wait, I heard the Camila Cabello shit. Well, the tracks, not the album, like you did. And was able, you know what? Get that so bad after all. I mean, it's like, perhaps I misjudged you.
I apologize. I didn't understand your game.
Do I think it's 10 worthy? I don't think so. To me, no, but is it still a good album? Yes, it is. I still think it's just with high pop and wave music with more of that aggressive bash tone and even some Ron Williams in there with, of course, with the one track So Why, which of course didn't get the close friend Sophie, which yeah it is. And then this one track Girl So Confusing by her contentious relationship with a silly female artist. Some suspect it might be Lord, but then they realize, oh, she's on the remix. There is a remix of it with Lord on it.
Yeah, so she's either talking about, and this is just speculation, Lana Del Rey, because she has dropped in another song, or Taylor, what did you do to her?
I guess it might be her.
It could be.
But that's why handle all the stuff right for me. You got people like her, right? Like her, you got with an AG Cook, and of course, you got some people like with a Hudson Mohawk. Damn it, I hate saying his name because. He said his name because
Gesoffelstein?
Yes. and what was called El Goncho. That's all I'm gonna say. Like you got some things here. You got some things like you got things like Spain Breakers or Goodbye. Like yeah, I see people like this album, and yeah, I do see like the rated raise a 10. Since I mentioned him, we also call this nigga misogynist. Cause y'all flip flop him every time he breaks.
Oh God!
Even makes him about like he's either a simp or a misogynist. Make up your fucking mind. And then because he gave some gave that one girl a bad grade doesn't make him misogynist. This means that the record is probably good, or just means y'all motherfuckers are stupid. There.
Discourse.
I had to get out of the way. I just had to.
Media literacy is in the shitter. More 11, and I'll add to that. Actually, the bonus tracks are also good. Spring Breakers, it's a fun song. I know Mark from Spectrum Pulse was a little too not into it, but whatever.
Okay. All right. Okay, next up is since I mentioned earlier, Channel Trash with Head Rush. So yeah, he figured, well, I come on Kitchen Ice album, so I'll get his own shit. It's actually his debut album, which he'd been doing a lot of EPs mixing for a while. Also signed to RCA like Kate Chinata, but okay, that's coincidence. Look about this guy, he hails from Compton, he did mostly EPs mixtapes. Collab with people like Tyler Creator, Tinashe, Tookie Monster, Motion Oranges, among others. And I will say this. Like, I know Marcus Special Post was the only one to cover this as well. Because nobody else is saying that except for him, which I think he liked it more than Timeless, which for me, I like as much as Timeless, but I'm not gonna knock it down. Like, there are some grooves and vibes going on here. Like, this is more into that R&B, more R&B, the house music vibe, which, of course, the guy can sing and rap well, and tracks like Black and Mild, which, like that one. The one Cactus Water was good. Candy Paint was also a good check. And oh, look, they have Thundercat as well. Third time I said Thundercat on the album this month. Again, there's also tracks like Bergane, I'm Him, and Chang Hang Low with Tizo Touchdown, which there's some good bangers right here, which, okay. I can see, and you know, look at Miles on this guy, this has some grooves to it. Like, it's a still album, which, all right, we should check it out. And, yeah, man, we'll just see what does next. Next do you have for, well, it might be a bit short because these are artists that are pretty much, well, ain't got, well, you know, artists that I got much to be on, but yeah, anyway. Bodie James and Conductor Williams, Conductor, across the tracks. So, of course, if you know my opinion on Bodie James and his albums, I mean, the sort is, look, heard all this shit. I mean, at this point, I don't think any just changed from him, but okay, I like this album pretty well. Like, we'll say, I got a few tracks like Flying Trapeze Act, St. Juliana, and Lampshade. Once again, get a guest appearance of one Double D on Permission, which is, okay. Are you sure it's not Double D actually rapping? And of course, the usual with Bowling, to get more story time with Bowling this day of life and get out this beats. And the beats are good on here. Like, I do like some of the singles. And like I said, I like some of the tracks on Mission, but yeah, it's another decent Bowling album. Luckily, I can't compare it because, you know, his albums are, you know, usually, you know, not that long. So, yeah, we have to go with that. Next up, your old Drew with Movie. So, with the top of that, it's a very autobiographical and kind of cinematic type of album from him, telling about him growing as an immigrant child, which, in case you forgot, because I kind of half for a bit. He's Ukrainian, by the way. In case you haven't seen his face, because, you know, you're thinking he has like a very, you know, very, very like ambiguously racial look to him. It's like he's Ukrainian. Which when I think about Drew, he said that Drew does mean friend. So, okay, that sort of makes sense. Of course, it's about, you know, him growing up as an immigrant child, his family, his barren soul. It does something that raises the craft of, you know, storytelling and hip hop, which, okay, I can sort of respect that. Of course, you know, he's just talking shit here and there, especially on, you know, the track we all know from, you know, DBC, Met the Man, and Denzel Curry in the cut. And come to think of it, aside from that track and the one bonus track with Yasmin Bey on it, he's on his own. Like, there's a lot of features on here. Like, he's carrying it on his own, which I gotta dig the hell out of that, which, of course, you get, well, yeah, I did this shit, so yeah, this is a very, 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 like, not unusual, but it is growing on me. Like, yeah, I do kind of dig this album a bit, so yeah. So you get the point, is what I'm saying. Next up, Previous Industries, the team up of Oh My Ego, Still Ripping, Video Date with Surface Merchandise. Which, apparently, from what I heard, this was originally during the pandemic as a concept, as in with, you know, the front retail stores, like, you know, like, I think the tracks are called, like, Roebuck, you know, like, Sears Roebuck, KB, like, KB Toys, and Photomat, which I want to say it's a store or something like that.
Yes. Long story, yes.
Okay, yeah. It covers, like, you know, like, stuff like, you know, like nostalgia, heartbreak, loss, getting older, which parallels to hip hop in the 90s now, which parallels hip hop in the 90s and, you know, brick and mortar stores being booming the next minute, and next thing you know, they're out of business, which, that's a good concept. That's a good concept. Like, okay, and I will say it's done with, you know, with All My Evil Crew, which I got what I expected. Like, it's creative, it's unique, it got parallel themes with a very unparalleled production, right, from all MCs, which is very good. And remind me, you know, most of these stores that you're old. So am I. Damn. And now for the unusual team up that I never expected. Little Yachty and James Blake with Bad Cameo.
Yeah, wow, that was a thing.
Yeah, we're talking about a Little Yachty album again. And for the second time, this one is an ass. It's not as terrible as this other shit, but all the albums okay. Like, okay, from the little audio of the audio album, it's still that record of what it usually posts. In terms of a James Blake record, it's fine. It's not one of his best ones, but I still dug it. Like, I was looking not doing his alternative indie shit, which, you know, the melancholic ambient sound, something that forces from the duo and the vibe from the song, which the vibes are strong for the album. Like, songs in the middle can be one here or the other. Like, I mean, sure that Yachty can be good. Well, he can be okay to good music, which I'm good for that. I like to do it, you know, something like this, not the shit that you used to do. I gotta say, even though I like James Blake and I like some songs of him rather than just full albums, but this is kind of interesting work since, you know, James Blake always being he'd be featuring some hip hop in recent years, but yeah, I gotta say this one, okay, it's interesting. Listen, I won't say it's the best, but all right, it's a fine record. And of course, last but not least, yep, Meg Thee Stallion with Megan.
Yeah,
her third studio album and the first one on her own independent label, Hot Girl Productions. And of course, we've been testing this ever since, since with Cobra and Hiss, which we all know the latter is basically the catalyst of the whole biggest rap beef of the year, which, oddly enough, Cobra and Hiss, or Hiss and Cobra, they're the bookings of the album. Like, Hiss the first track, Cobra's the last track. I knew what to expect this album, man. I wasn't expecting really that much, but, I mean, talk about the hot girl shit. Let's get any type of hating ass bitch or either male or female, or goes through some personal shit, given what she's been going through. I mentioned Hot Girl, because, all right, the track is pretty interesting. Also, I wish we did get the sample, but we didn't. Oh, it was cool to hear Adam McArthur out here doing a line. I mean, even though I'm not that high on Digital Custom right now, like, I'm still for the sex season, was not that great. It's all right. It's interesting that that's on there. And speaking of things Japanese, Mamushi, which also sang in Japan, which that's in Japanese as well. I thought she did good rapping Japanese, by the way. In case some of you weirds were to do some shit like that, more of that shit going on, but yeah. And of course, a feature from Japanese rapper Yuki Chiba from a group called M-O-H-H, or Mo, I don't know where he's from. Well, I'm not familiar with him, but it's like, okay, I thought he was okay here, too. And of course, like I said, Wushi's a snake, because given the whole feeling from that shit, her skin, and just a new life, which, all right. You got checks like both ain't shit, like B-A-S, or both ain't shit, we just have a relationship where both of them were, both of them cheat a lot, which, okay, I kind of like that track. And of course, Kyle Rich does I think it's gonna be the other guy, which, oh, look how they flipped the Tina Marie sample in there, which, okay. Also, I check Paper Together, which she did the feature with UGK. And yes, that's both Bun B and late Pimp C as a version. Hey, it's gonna hit a Pimp C version in this way out of place. Oh, in case you forgot about this, you know Megan's alter ego, Tina Snow? That's inspired by Pimp C's alter ego, Tony Snow. Yeah, which kind of makes sense, both from Texas, over Texas doing that thing, which, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Yeah, like I said, with this album, like, I knew what to expect was, like, I'm kind of okay with this album. Like, I wasn't really expecting much, or wasn't really, like, I'm not saying I didn't have more expectations. Like, I knew it was going to be, the what it was going to do. Was like, I like what I heard, so, yeah. So yeah, like, I say, yeah, it's solid for me. And yeah, that's it for my albums this month. Yeah, we're looking at July, and I wonder what album's gonna go in July, and, well, let's just say, since y'all two got some bad shit, well, this is coming this Friday.
Oh.
Yeah. Tune in next month.
I feel like the question is how many of us are going to bite the bullet on that. It's going to be at least one. But we don't have to worry about that for now. Now we just have to move on to the final segment of this podcast, which is me talking about albums and stuff. And when I was saying earlier that, like, I had some stuff to listen to, but, like, not a lot, I mean, like, I have three top picks, and two of them we pretty much already touched on. So, I can probably breeze through these first two relatively quickly. So, first of all, no worries, Why Laud? Despite it having been like 8 years, the two have not skipped a beat on this one. Everything on this album, especially production-wise, is very immaculate and smooth. Like, the great synths and excellent backing vocals, to those really excellent R&B guitars and all. And of course, it's all the great bedrock to the way Pac performs here, with an attitude and lyrics that are best summed up as a kind of, like, bittersweet hedonism. Like, kind of like a guy trying to live it up with the only life he's got, but there's still, like, a lot of personal shit he's trying to work through, regrets from, like, failed romances. Kind of bouncing back and forth between, like, genuine regretful heartache and weird tongue-in-cheek humor. Listen to the song Here I Am for proof positive of that. So, yeah, it's pretty much just very well made from front to back, and it's just a good album to listen to and just kind of, like, stew in your feelings. And then, of course, the other one being Megan Thee Stallion, of course, Megan, which, I mean, I had fun with it. Like, I can understand how people would have, like, the problem TM, but, like, I don't know. I still had fun with this album literally from, like, the fact that it opens on Hiss, which gives us the great hip-hop opening line of 2024 with, I just want to kick the shit off by saying, fuck y'all. Yeah, that's just a great way to start an album. And just continuing from there, like, you get the usual Megan stuff about, like, track after track, flexing her hot girl shit, telling gossipy a-holes to hop off her dick, complete with, like, you know, her really rapid flow and her ad-libs of choice. And, you know, you get a solid amount of bangers on this one, like, Where Them Girls At, B.A.S., seriously, that beat on B.A.S., Downstairs DJ, which is, I wonder if X-Videos got a boosted traffic after that name drop. Worthy, for me, is probably one of the best tracks on the album, just because that beat is so, like, far out from anything else on the record. It's kind of got, like, this more indie rock thing going on, kind of like what my university radio station would play, and of course, we get Megan on her weeb shit with Otaku Hot Girl and Mamushi, which, by the way, I'm wondering the specific voice quote from that song from Otaku Hot Girl. Apparently, that was, like, a Twitter shit post that Adam MacArthur made back in 2021. Like, if you go back far enough his timeline, you'll see him making that quote. And I don't know if that's, like, just her taking from that clip, but I mean, it's still funny that, like, he says, the line, TM. And, yeah, Mamushi also very much on the weeb shit. By the way, if the name Yuki Chiba sounds familiar, I completely forgot that he worked with, like, Frank Ocean on, I think it was, like, God, how fucking long ago was Blonde?
Was that 8 also years? 8 years?
2016?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Fuck. First year. Fuck. I remember, I think the pilot episode of this podcast, episode zero, when it was just me and Alex, we talked about whatever weird fuckery was going on with Frank Ocean and the labels and shit.
We're getting old.
Yeah. Oh god, I hope I don't have multiple chins. Anyway, now we can move on to the one album that hasn't been talked about yet. So, yeah, this new Alcest project, Les Chants de la Rorde, which, as a reminder for if you've never listened to this band, they're basically one of the earliest instances of a band blending black metal extremities with post-rock ambiance to create the bedrock of what we call the black gaze style that, like, most people associate with Death Heaven, for example. Except Alcest honestly does it, like, way fucking better. They've kind of been in, like, a groove of, like, trying to sort of get back into some of their more black metal-ish stuff after, I forget what the name of their 2014 album was, but that was way more of, like, kind of a shoegazy dream pop record. But they've been trying to go more, like, back to the black metal stuff ever since 2016's Kodama, an album which, fun fact, was a concept record inspired by Princess Mononoke.
Hmm.
It's not just Megan on her weeb shit. Anyway, back to this record. Yeah, their last album, Spiritual Instinct, was in 2019, which was solid, but, like, not a mind blower. But this one, it definitely sets the right tone, a very melodic one, with the opening track, Como Rebi, which has a great mix of, like, these angelic backing choir vocals, the melodic lead vocals, tremolo distortion in the guitars, acoustic guitar melodies, and drums that kind of mix in, like, double kicks and relatively slower, like, blast beat rhythms, which find that balance between setting a very lush melodic tone and keeping the metal extremities intact. As the remaining six songs kind of, like, bounce back and forth between a lot of that really immaculate melodic songwriting and, you know, the expected black metal conventions, where they actually complement each other without feeling, like, particularly forced or anything. I feel like this dichotomy can be best summed up, by a lot of tracks, but especially, like, the last two tracks on the record, Les Enfants de la Lune, which, I'm not an expert on French, but I assume that means Children of the Moon or something. It's definitely the song that, like, leans the most into the metal extremities of any other track on the record, and then that's followed by the closer Les Dieux, which is a song that consists, there's very little percussion to it, it's mostly just, like, a lot of gorgeous multi-layer vocals, melancholic violins, and acoustic guitars and pianos, just to kind of let the melodies soar and just, you know, kind of get inside you. That was a weird way to phrase it. But the point is, it's a very beautifully written album. It's very immaculate. And I can't speak to the lyrical quality, because obviously I don't speak French and I didn't look up translations beforehand. But I'm just going to go ahead and take Spectrum Pulse's word for it, since I think he was talking about, like, how bleak and devastating the lyrical content on this album actually is, if you're looking at what it actually translates to and all. But yeah, honestly, really good Alcest record. Now, moving on to the quick round stuff here. This new Sumac album, The Healer. So, I quite enjoyed it, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say about it other than it's pretty much exactly what you expect out of a Sumac record. Like, it's four tracks, it's an hour and 15 minutes long. The song structures are very rambly and all over the place, with a lot of filthy, dingy production and just kind of extended jamming all over the place. Like, if you've heard one Sumac album and liked it, you're probably going to like this one, so you don't need me to sell you on it. Umbra Vitae, Light of Death. As a reminder, this is the supergroup consisting of members of Converge, The Red Core, Joffre Cowboy, etc. And this second album falls into a similar vein as their first one in that it goes for a similar mix of, like, hardcore energy and kind of 90s death metal influence with very modern production. In fact, the sounds on this record are a bit sharper and punchier than their previous album. And while it's solid enough, it kind of falls into a problem where it doesn't quite have that fizz. Like, it doesn't have quite that special spark. But, like, it does pretty well for what it is. Joey Valenson Bray, No Hands. So, as I believe I said the last time I talked about these guys, these two are basically the keynote speakers at the Cornball Convention. Definitely worshipping still at the altar of the Beastie Boys, and while it might sound like I'm splitting hairs here if anyone remembers when I talked about them last, I feel like that last release was a bit stronger. At the very least, like, it overall had much stronger beats and was at least more memorably corny. Again, it sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but, like, it makes sense to me. Although I will say this, there is a guest appearance on this album that does go pretty hard by, of all people, Danny Brown.
Oh.
Huh.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. Kate Renata, Timeless. I realize I've probably said this at least once before, but this really is, like, peak Adult Swim bump energy to these songs. The man's ears for beats are still pretty on point. In fact, I had Adult Swim running on the TV while I was writing my notes and re-listening to this, and every time one of those nature bumps came on, I wasn't hearing the actual music, but I had this album playing in my headphones, and I'm like, yeah, this fits. Daniel Davies, Ghost of the Heart, finally giving his solo work a listen after only being familiar with him through his Carpenter collabs. First of all, apparently he's the son of Dave Davies, longtime guitarist of the Kinks. Anyway, I bring that up because I feel like bringing up an old reference point like that kind of gives you a bit of a clue to kind of like how his style is, in that, yes, it definitely has a lot of like that creepy synth ambiance and such, but there's definitely this kind of like classic rock sensibility to the way he writes riffs and even how he performs vocally. So if you like that kind of stuff but with like more synths on it, there you go, here's an album for you. And last but certainly not least, the posthumous Johnny Cash record Songwriter. Again, pretty interesting to get this the year I finally decide to binge the Johnny Cash discography. This was created by taking like a series of demos from right before the American Recording series of albums. And what happened was his son, John Carter Cash, put together a backing band, which included several musicians who had previously worked with Cash proper before, and basically expanded on the demos to basically what amounts to a pretty successful attempt at recreating the typical Cash sound. So, yeah, if you really like that quintessential Cash, then this is an album for you. And I don't really have any lowlights or anything, so yeah, that pretty much wraps up all my business here. So, thank you for listening. Of course, as always, there's going to be a playlist down in the description of the songs and albums that we recommend. So, you know, if you want to give that stuff a listen, make sure to click down there. Of course, you know where to find us. Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook, SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast Q&A, all that good stuff. And you'll find the link to our Discord, which is the most reliable place to be notified whenever anything new goes up there. Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Of course, we'll eventually be back with the roundup for July 2024, as well as more of the usual weekly episodic shenanigans. So until then, peace out.